Resurrection Lord's Day. And we're talking about the Feast of the Lord in reference to the tabernacle and the Christian. We've had the opportunity to cover some of those feasts, and we're working on the Feast of Weeks, but probably since we're on the day when they would offer the first fruits, as recorded in Leviticus 23, it'd be apropos to take a moment to kind of review that. You guys up for that? And then we'll get on the Feast of Weeks. Again, it had to do with Passover, which Passover this year, by the way, if you were to go and look at a Hebrew calendar, which it is like year 5777, something like that in their calendar, Passover would have occurred on April 10th in our calendar. That would have been Nisan or Abib 14th this year. That was Monday. So, again, that would have been in the calendar year this year, when if Jesus would have died this year, according to the foreshadow of the law on Passover, he would have died on Monday. Okay? Now we know that's most likely not what happened the year that Jesus died. The year that he died, I'm convinced he died on a Thursday. You'd be hard-pressed to convince me otherwise. But back to Leviticus 23, just so that we can talk a little bit about Passover and the 15th day of unleavened bread and then the first fruits being offered. Just to go back and look at this. Because, brethren, what I have taught, and I don't know how closely you guys have been paying attention. Some of you have the seven feasts and key days, holy convocations I printed out. Some of you have that. It's in red, the important stuff, dates. And I've told you, and I don't know if you've grasped it, that you know some of the things that I have taught you would be considered blasphemous in religious marketplace, and I'm telling you, within even the Restoration Movement, what we would loosely call the Restoration Movement, which was created by those that wanted to return to the what the Bible teaches only, particularly under the New Covenant. And I don't know if you've really paid any attention to what I've said when I've said that. I'm telling you, there's going to be people that online that somebody will hear this and say to their religious, you know, leader, hey, you need to hear this guy. He's really out of line. And let me show you a guy that's preaching false doctrine. I'm telling you, that's what they're going to say about me. You guys are going, what? Well, I'm going to take the opportunity this morning to kind of review this and tell you how most of the world views this offering of the first fruit. Then we'll take a look at what God's Word says. Then we'll go back and we'll see why I hold what I hold. All right. So Leviticus 23, I got to get my readers on. Beginning in verse 2, we're going to read a little context here, guys. So we may get to the Feast of Weeks today, we may not. This is a perfect opportunity to go back over this Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the offering of the first sheaf, the Omer. Okay, on the day following the Sabbath. All right, so, verse 2, speak to sons of Israel in Leviticus 23 and say to them, Yahweh's appointed times which you shall proclaim as holy convocations. Mikra Kodesh is the word there, okay? My appointed times are these. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest. Now that is Sabbath, Sabbath, Sabbaton. That's what it says in the Hebrew. Sabbath, Sabbaton. That means, okay, Sabbath, Shabbat, all that means, and I've not gone through this, so I'm going to take the time this morning. It means like an intermission of rest. Okay, it's like there's going to be an intermission here, a little, you know, period inserted here, a little intermission. If you've ever been to an old movie, by the way, last night, my brother-in-law and my brother in Christ, Bill, here, called over to our house. He says, hey, the Ten Commandments is on. You know, so any of you that know me know I kind of like that Ten Commandments movie. Who is this Moses? Right? That's what Yul Brynner said. You know? Anyway, so he played the part of Pharaoh, in case you're wondering. You know, many are going, young people are going, Yul who? Okay, so it doesn't matter. Anyway, there's an intermission in that movie. If you went to the theater and actually saw that movie, it is a 3+ hour movie. Almost 4 hours. So it would have an intermission. So it'd be a break, okay? So think of, you know, like there's an intermission, a little break here. That's kind of like a ceasing, a desisting, an intermission from what? From work. So the word here is Shabbat, Shabbaton, okay? And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but that's what it says. A Sabbath of complete rest. Both words mean rest, but this is an emphasized. It means you're going to stop, and it's complete stop. All right? Complete desisting, complete intermission from whatever you're doing. All right? Now, remember that. Remember that. You shall not do any work. By the way, this is also called a Mikrash Kodesh, isn't it? But it's interesting. It's called a Sabbath of complete rest, a Shabbat, Shabbaton, Shabbaton, okay? And then it's also called a Mikrash Kodesh. Remember, these are God's Mikrash Kodesh, sacred assemblies. Right? You shall not do any work. It is a rest to Yahweh and all your dwellings. It is an intermission in your work to Yahweh and all your dwellings. You notice how I'm putting this in there. Now, some of you, if you got a good concordance and electronic, you can go and look this Hebrew word up and see what I'm telling you is basically true. If you got a good Strong's on your smartphone being operated by not some necessarily a smart person, that would be me. Okay. Verse 4, these are the appointed times of Yahweh, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the times appointed for them. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, that's between the two evenings, is the Lord's or Yahweh's Passover. And I told you, two evenings, here's the way the Israelite would figure this. Two evenings. Okay, the first evening begins when the apex of the sun hits in the sky and starts to descend. That's the beginning of evening in their mind. You guys with me on that? So evening has begun. Just as the sun is about ready to get set, that's the end of the evening. So when the scripture says that the Passover lamb in Exodus 12 is to be offered between the two evenings, it's talking about between noon and 6. The Passover lamb is slaughtered, and then everything is done in that Exodus 12 context there where they apply the blood to the doorpost and then the lintel, the top part. And then they roast it and they eat it completely, the lamb. And it looks like, if you're paying attention, they eat dinner at night. Looks like it's dark in Exodus 12. You guys need to go check this stuff out. As we've said from up front many, many times, you need to check this out and make sure what's being said is so, just like more noble-minded Bereans. Right? Just because it's mere Luke doesn't mean we have ultimate authority. We can make mistakes. We are not inspired. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, but we are not inspired in that we are infallible. Do you get that? Anybody that comes up here can make a mistake. All right, so check it out. I've made a few misstatements from up front. Knowingly, not very often. Usually I go back and listen to something. I go, ooh, that was a misstatement. I shared one with my brother-in-law, my brother in Christ, and his wife yesterday when I was studying with him on some stuff that many of you guys missed, but I shared with him. If you're wondering what it was, you can ask him. Okay? All right? I'm just getting you involved, Bill. Okay? So they would sacrifice the Passover lamb in the afternoon of Passover. What we would call afternoon, but it's literally called between two evenings. Right? Verse 6, then on the 15th day of the same month, there is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to Yahweh. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. That's interesting. It does not use the same word here for the laborious work as you get for Shabbat or Shabbaton. It's not the same word. Go check it out. All right? But for 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to Yahweh. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. Some translations have no servile work, meaning no agricultural work, none of those kind of things, but it allows for you to do things around the house, prepare meals, blah, blah, blah. It's not blah, 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 but you guys understand what I'm saying. When I do that, I need to be careful. Verse 9, then Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I am going to give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf or the omer of first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And this would be the barley. That's the first thing they would harvest. Now they could eat nothing until they offered that first of their harvest None of that could they eat until they offered the first omer, presented it, waved it to God. They could eat nothing of that harvest. So the waving of the omer, this first fruits, opened up the harvest in general for the barley moving on into the wheat. Anything they harvested, now they could start to make and use to eat. That's how that worked. Any questions on that? I know we have spent, this can be the third Lord's Day, brethren, that we've talked about Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because this is important. We're now on the Passover celebration, on into the Feast of First Fruits right now in the Christian system. Okay, we're celebrating our remembrance of Christ dying as a Passover lamb, being sacrificed between the two evenings. John, I'll come back to you. Okay, so that's why you can read the gospel accounts and see that on the sixth hour in John 19, we've talked about this and we're reviewing it again, and I think it's super important. It says at about the 12th or about the sixth hour, that would be about noonish, okay, anywhere from noon to three, okay, they offered up Jesus to be crucified. And then you'll read that he is actually on the cross when he basically dies. It's at the time of the evening sacrifice, which could be offered anywhere between 3 and 6 p.m., typically closer to 3 o'clock, under religious observances as exercised by the Jews, from my understanding of things. Now, I'm going to tell you, not everybody that you read is going to agree on all these things, all these commentators. All right? So, back to John first, and I'll come to you, Mike. John had his hand up first. Mr. Rancic, your question, your comment, sir.
So the it was barley, right?
Yes.
For the so, but not everybody had a field of barley. So did everyone present that? Just the priest, right?
It was the first of the harvest would be presented.
Yeah. So where did it come from?
Well, read your context there. It says, you shall present. So everybody would bring it, whoever could, and then he'd take one and symbolically wave it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, in my head, I was picturing everybody bringing some, you know. But then they would just come from whoever was harvesting the barley.
Yes.
They would get some from them.
Whoever, it was just representative of anybody that grew that would bring it. Symbolically, it would be raised. One of them would be raised. As the harvest is now okayed, because we brought the first fruits to God. You know, you can go back to, I think it's Proverbs 3 that says, bring the first fruits to the Lord. I can't remember the verse, but I think it's in Proverbs 3. So this is just representative that the first fruit would be waived, symbolic of the harvest has now been accepted. Because the first fruit's been offered to God, you're ready to go. So it's symbolic. Whoever did it would bring it, but they'd wave one. Mr. Wojciechowski, your comment, sir.
So the sixth hour is when?
When he was turned over by Pontius Pilate to be crucified.
So, and you said that that's typically between noon and three.
Yeah, they would. It's about a three-hour period, yeah.
So how do we know that?
By the way they told time, and by the way that the writings say that the Jews told time. See, they don't go 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. They go the first hour, third hour, sixth hour, whatever. So it would be around noon, okay, but in the Jewish mind of telling time, they'd have first watch at night, second watch at night, third night, third watch, fourth watch, and then during the day they'd have first watch in the day, second watch in the day, third watch. That's why they think that this is more Roman time that's being communicated here in John. But I think he's trying to communicate to the Jews that it's the sixth hour, which for them would be part of the second watch moving in, you know, from 6 to 9 is first watch during day, 9 to 12 is the second watch.
So it's not like our sixth hour. It's not the same. Okay.
Not even close. Everything's based on the way they told time, which is why we go over this again, 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 because it's confusing. We want to put everything in the way we understand it from a Western culture perspective, and it's going to mess up your timing. That's why some people think, and you'll have a note, it says sixth hour, maybe 6 a.m. What are they going off of? Our way of telling time.
I guess I'm not sure that I totally agree with that, because I understand there's a difference between Jewish time and Roman time, But like even the parables and stuff, there are like the first hour, the second hour, the third hour. So I mean, I still think there's, I personally think there can be pretty definitive time nailed down. So
that's what I say here. It looks like it's more Roman time, and they're saying it'd be around noon. I'm just saying if you're looking at it from a Jew, it would be the second watch in the day, closing, moving towards the third watch. And there's ways you can research this, but I agree with you, Luke. I think it's more towards noon. I'm just saying that that's, you know, that's what they think it means, but they're not 100%. Okay? That's why I said what I said before that. Not everybody's going to agree with all these things. All the commentators. Okay? Some say that that's 6 a.m. They're convinced that 6 a.m. in the morning that Pontius Pilate turned Jesus over to be crucified. Some of you look in your Bibles, you'll have a note. It'll say approximately 6 a.m. Time-wise, it doesn't work. Time-wise. You can't get Jesus to all these different guys during the night, then to Pontius Pilate, have the crowd out there at 6 o'clock in the morning and have him turned over to be crucified at 6, which means he makes the walk, goes out, sticks up on the cross. You tell me he's on the cross there for 6 to 7 hours during the day? It doesn't appear that way when you read the rest of the gospel accounts. Are you guys with me? How many of you are reading your gospels? Go back and read them. Luke makes a good point about it. He thinks it's exactly 12 noon, and I tend to agree with him, but I'm telling you that there are commentators that will say that it's between 12 and 3. There are those that say it's 6 a.m. That's the only point I'm making here. I tend to agree with Luke that it's more noon, which is what I think I said, but it could be noon to 3 based on how people look at this. All right? So, okay. Are we all right? If I confused any of you. If I have, please raise your hand and go back, start over. I'm confused. There's nothing wrong with admitting you're confused. What's wrong is when you don't admit it and we keep going, I think you understand and you're lost. That's not fair to you. Does everybody understand now what Luke was saying? Show of hands, please. I need some participation. Okay, thank you. Before I go, I want to make sure you guys understand. All right. Not trying to be a jerk. Just want to make sure you understand. All right, so John 19 says that's when Jesus was turned over to be crucified. And then you read the gospel accounts, and it's pretty obvious from the gospel accounts that Jesus died fairly quickly on the cross. Doesn't make a big surprise there because he's beat rather badly. So it goes dark for about a three-hour period. It goes dark for a period of time. Be careful what I say here. Because guys will show, I'm not sure. I agree. Goes dark for a period of time, right? During the day? You guys remember that in the gospel accounts? During the daylight hours, goes dark, shocks everybody. Okay. And then about the time of the evening sacrifice, he gives up his spirit. The temple curtain, the veil is ripped from top to bottom. The holy place is now opened up into the Holy of Holies. Now that's in the gospel accounts. Now that all took place before dark. That's the thing we need to understand on the day of Passover. Okay, so Jesus died on Passover, got stuck in the tomb like we talked about last week and week before that, before it went dark, so we could start to count 3 days, 3 nights. We went through that. But what I want to get to this morning is the stuff that I have been telling you guys and been teaching you guys, and I don't think you realize how some people view it as what I am saying is extremely blasphemous. I don't think you guys understand what I'm teaching you. You're now probably being looked upon as a congregation who's totally under the bewitching of this false teacher. You guys think I'm joking? This is serious stuff. I'm actually being totally honest. Now let me tell you why I say that, okay? Now let's go to Leviticus 23. Have I got you all a little scared, a little concerned now? You should be, a little bit. You want to make sure I got this right, correct? Or else I am a false teacher, correct? All right. Speak to the sons of Israel in verse 10. Say to them, when you enter the land which I am going to give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. We've been talking about that. And he shall wave the sheaf before Yahweh for you to be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Now on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb, 1 year old, without defect, for a burnt offering to the Lord, to Yahweh. It's grain offering. Goes on and tells you what the grain offering, the libation, all that's supposed to be. Verse 14, until this same day, until you have brought in the offering of your God, you shall eat neither bread nor roasted grain nor new growth. See, there's where they couldn't eat any of that stuff until it had been offered from the first of the year. Okay? It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generations and all your dwelling places. The first of the month, I'm sorry. That's where I think this goes back to. And that's opinion. Okay. Stop. 14th of Nisan or Abib is Passover. We've established that, correct? Okay. Brad, do you have your calendar with you that I left mine at home again. Did you bring yours this week? Okay. You have it? Would you bring it up, Brother Dobson? I want to read to you what they say, most commentators say, about how they track time from Passover to the offering of the sheaf, the omer, the first fruits. Okay? And I don't know if any of you got this one. I know some of you can't see it, you're far away, but it's going to look like this. I think Mr. Hahn had one when he showed me his a couple weeks ago. But it's going to have Nisan, and underneath it'll tell you what it used to be called, a bib, before the Babylonian captivity. And it has up here on the 14th, it says Passover, the date. And that's correct. And it says 15 through 21, unleavened bread. That's correct. Then it has the date of the 16th, the offering of first fruits. Did you catch that? The significance of that? So what they're saying is that the day after the Sabbath that's being spoken about here in Leviticus 23, what almost all commentators would tell you, there's a few that are honest and say, it's really a little bit uncertain here. And then they'll go into their argument. I just took a look at the words and arrived at what I arrived at and taught it the way I've taught it. And I figured, you know, I told you guys in passing when I first talked about that I'd be considered blasphemous. I didn't really stress how people would view it. I'm doing that for you this morning because you guys need to all go back and be convinced of this. All right? Because most of the community in the religious marketplace says Friday he died, Sunday he came out of the tomb. Jesus said 3 days, 3 nights. We did the math. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Now, either Jesus lied or, you know, or we're going to massage the scripture or whatever. Okay? Now, understand, people that are not big on being held accountable to a God are going to take the kind of stuff that the scripture seems to teach in contradiction to itself, and they will use that against you. Unless you know how to explain this, you're going to be trapped. You're going to be trapped. Now, remember I told you when we were talking about the Lord's Sabbath? The seventh day, 6 days you work, then there's a Sabbath of complete rest? Right? You guys remember that? I told you remember that. All right. I want to go to... Remember, this is called a holy convocation, and then it's called the day after the Sabbath. The day after the rest, the priest shall offer it. Okay? Go ahead.
So Leviticus 23, verses 2 and 3 is talking about the weekly Sabbath, right?
And that's the only one that's referred to as a Sabbath in this context. Until we get to the Day of Atonement. And the Feast of Ingathering. Then all of a sudden the language changes. And you get the same language for those days as you got on the regular Sabbath. That's interesting. But in reference to the offering of the first fruit and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, these days are never referred to as a Sabbath of complete rest. They're just a holy convocation. And then Sabbath is stuck in there. Although it's the same word that basically means rest. But it would mean intermission. Okay, so here's what they say. 14th is Passover. Feast of Unleavened Bread. First day is a rest day. So that's the Sabbath that's being spoken of. Got that? Y'all with me? So Jesus will be on the cross Friday. The rest day here that's being talked about, the day after Passover, that Sabbath, that's being spoken of here. Here's what they say. That Sabbath is a feast of unleavened bread that first day. Y'all with me? This can be simple but hard to follow. Right? So the 14th, 15th is the first day of feast of unleavened bread. That's a day of rest, right? It does not use the same term Shabbat in there as it did on the Lord's Sabbath, or as it does on the Day of Atonement, or the Feast of Ingathering, which is interesting, like I told you. We'll get there. All right? It uses a different word for no work, no servile work, okay? To designate that's a little different. I think it's there for a purpose. All right, so they say Passover, regular Sabbath. That's what they say. You know, first day of unleavened bread's a regular Sabbath, kind of. That's what they say. And then the 16th would be the day after that Sabbath. So that would be the day that Jesus would have come out of the tomb. So you get Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You guys all with me? Have I confused you yet? Okay, Levi.
Just to make sure, the day of preparation is the 14th during the day, and then the Passover is during the evening.
Yes, it's all the same.
Okay.
You're correct. I know this is confusing. Some of you that weren't here are going, what is he talking about? I know you are. And you're afraid to admit it. Okay? Fourteenth, Passover. It says the first fruits is offered the day after the Sabbath, correct? Isn't that what the text said? On exactly the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the crops of the land, you should celebrate the feast. So here's unleavened bread for 7 days. Right? Oops. Unleavened. It's enough. Having trouble writing this morning. Too much coffee. Unleavened. Okay? So the first day, alright, is... Oops, I'm in the wrong place. 7 days you shall have, but the first day you shall have a holy convocation. And that's no servile work. So it's a day where there is rest from any servile or work in service. Okay? All right. It is not defined as a Shabbat Shabbaton. I think this is important that you understand it. Because this language is used, like I said, later on in the Day of Atonement. And in reference to some of the feast days associated with the Feast of Ingathering.
We're saying it's not Saturday.
I'm saying that. I'm telling you what they're saying.
Okay.
Okay, I'm trying to present their case. Right? So they're saying 14th is Passover. 15th, that first day, which is a feast day, a holy convocation, they're going to call Sabbath. It is a rest day. And then they're going to say the 16th is the first fruits. Okay? This is what they say. And this is what probably 98%, 99% of the religious marketplace holds to right there. Same thing. They're going to say that Jesus died on the 14th. So in John 19, when it's talking, or 20 talk, 19 talking, excuse me, 19 talking about the Sabbath being a high day. That it just happens to be a regular Sabbath, okay? They'd say Friday, Saturday, first day of the week. Out he came. And we did the math, it doesn't work. You can play games, but it doesn't work. He wasn't in 3 days, 3 nights. So that was the first thing that triggered me going, this can't be right. Otherwise, Jesus lied. This is where I started with how I came to what I came to, my understanding of what how this was observed. And I started to look at the words. I started to do a little more in-depth study. And this is how I arrived at what I arrived at. All right, now let's just use this week, this year. Let's use this year, okay, as the example of Passover. Pentecost, it is taught. We have to go to Pentecost now to help you see how I arrived, where I arrived at, how this would be figured. We have to go to Pentecost now and read a little bit about Pentecost, and I want you to notice some stuff here. Okay? Alright. After you offer the first sheaf, verse 15,
You offer the first sheaf. You shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be 7 complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days to the day. You got that? I'm not making it up. That's what it says. All right, let's just use April 10th of this year was Passover. Okay, who's got a good calendar that they can read in their phone? Who wants to be my... Jared, you want to be my... Okay. Jared, April 10th is a Monday, correct? Have you got your calendar open?
Yep.
Okay. Would you count, include Monday, count to the first Sabbath, regular Sabbath, for me? Counting Monday as well. So count it out loud to get the first Sabbath. Count the days. Monday 1, Tuesday 2, do that for me.
Monday 1, Tuesday 2, Wednesday 3, Thursday 4, Friday, sorry.
That's right, you're right, 5.
5, and then Saturday 6.
So Sabbath is Saturday in the Jewish way of reckoning time. You all agree?
Correct.
Some of you are like, I'm not sure I'm going to say anything. Right? There's a trap going to be sprung, right? I'm not trapping. I'm trying to show you where there's problems with the way they figure this. 6 days, right? Okay, it says 7 complete Sabbaths, correct? So we got 6 days this year. Okay, now 7 days from that is how many? 7 plus 6 is? Come on, guys. 7 plus 6 is? 13 plus 7? How many Sabbaths have we got? 3, right? 3, guys. We're at 20th. Some of you need to go back to school. Okay? So, alright, so 20th, we got 3 Sabbaths. 7 days from the 20th is the 27th, that's 4th Sabbath. 7 days from there is the
4th.
Okay? Okay, you keep counting. Guess what? When you count the 7 complete Sabbaths, would you tell me how many that is? You got 6 plus 6 more sevens. 42 plus 6 is what? Are you guys tracking with him? Have I lost any of you? How many days in a week?
7.
6 times 7 is how much? Come on together, guys. Come on. 42. 42 plus 6. Remember, that's the first week. We're counting the way they say it should be done. 48. The very day after that is the 50th day. What? No? What do you mean no? You blasphemers. You see what I'm getting at? Doesn't work. See, this is why you study this stuff and you don't just swallow whole what somebody tells you from up front. Satan is a clever deceiver. Now, let's go to Kevin's way of counting. The blasphemer. Okay? Let's say the 14th is the Passover. 15th is the first day, a holy convocation, not called a Shabbat Shabbaton. Alright? But just a rest. Of no servile work. All right, let's say this is Thursday, the 15th is Friday, 16th is now Saturday, and then let's say that the 17th would have been the Lord's Day. Okay? We're just on Kevin's count, okay? Or the first day of the week. We're just counting. Okay? And this only applies in the year Jesus was crucified, I'm talking about. Don't take this and make it every year. Don't do that, because I just proved you that Passover fell on what day of the week this year? Monday. I'm saying that Jesus died on a Thursday, the year he was crucified. Are you all with me? I have to go this way, baby steps, or you'll get lost. Believe me, you will. I know, I went through it 4 or 5 times, was so confused, being honest. Okay, so let's just say this is the year Jesus died. 14th is Passover. 15th is first day of unleavened bread. That'd be a holy convocation. 16th be a regular Sabbath. 17th be the first day of the week. Okay, now, if you do your count from the regular Sabbath, like it says in Leviticus 23, and you start to count, here's your regular Sabbath, and you do 7 more Sabbaths, okay, and you start counting from this day, Sunday, okay, you can do the count. 7 plus 7 plus 7 plus 7, alright? And guess what? You're going to arrive with the 49th day as the Sabbath day, And the very next day after that's going to be the first day of the week. Every time. You're going to always end up with 50. Every single time. You guys see that?
So just for a reference for everybody, you're going from Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16.
Yes.
That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Again, I want you guys to take what I'm throwing out here, and what I am teaching, brethren, is super, super controversial. Super controversial. You guys don't realize it yet. You do now. Because the whole world says it's always the 14th Passover, this is the Sabbath, and the 16th is always when the first fruit is offered. It doesn't work when you do the count. You're going to be all over the place. You're never going to arrive on the 50th day if you follow just seven. It says seven complete Sabbaths is all. You just have to go through seven Sabbaths. That's how it's stated. And then you go the day after the seventh Sabbath, which should always be what? The first day of the week, right? It only works when you do it the way that I just showed you. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can stand and show a Hebrew scholar, all right, all this stuff, and they will refuse to accept it. Because that's the way it's always been. It's always the 14th, the 15th, and then first fruits the 16th. And I challenge you, you guys get a hold of a Hebrew calendar and you see if you find one where it isn't written like this. That's how entrenched this is. But it doesn't work to get to the 50 days. I just proved you, just this year they end up one day short, don't they? When they off the first fruits. Well, is God a liar? The only one that I found, I'm trying to remember the guy's name, Wyeth or something like that, is a commentator. And he said, it is of uncertain, how do you put it? It is an uncertain determination, I think is what he used, of what Sabbath day is being referenced there. The regular Sabbath or the day of first fruits being considered the Sabbath that's being spoken of here. And he shuts it down right there, and you can already see, I'm not going to do the numbers because I know we're going to have trouble. I can just see him thinking about going, that's where we stop talking about. We move on to the next point right now. So, I hope you guys see what I was trying to point out. Did all of you follow that? Did you see how this year it doesn't work? Because it's always supposed to be the day after the Sabbath. All right. And so if you go read most commentators, they'll tell you that Pentecost was typically on the first day of the week every year. So how do they make that work? They don't. They go, I act like I didn't see that. And they compartmentalize. Remember I've told you guys how people do that? How I did that? You compartmentalize. You go, well, that's one of those oddities I just won't think about. I'll ignore it. And that's religion at its core for most people. Where there is conflict with what the Word of God says and what they're observing, we compartmentalize that and on we go. And I'm challenging you guys, don't do that. Think your way through these things. So, again, Jesus, I am absolutely convinced, just based on the teaching in Leviticus 23, in reference to Passover, the offering of the first fruit, that omer of barley, on into the Feast of Weeks, which these are all intimately tied together. Timing is all predicated upon one another. That's why I arrived at what I arrived at, and why I believe I can prove that Jesus was crucified on a Thursday. Now, I guarantee you, I will get a line as long as you can imagine in front of me that will come up one by one and tell me I am wrong, I am wrong, and I'm wrong, and I'll make them work through the numbers. And I'll tell them to pick a date of any year, and let's go and see if it works. Now, there'll be occasional years that it'll work where the 14th to the 16th will work out to be the 50th day, maybe. Maybe. But most times it won't. And I'll say, okay, you rectify that for me. You tell me how that works. Okay. Spent a lot of time on this, haven't we? Because a lot of us have never really considered this with any thoughtfulness, have we? Now, how much trouble did Jay get into by just saying, hey, look what the Scripture says about a new creation? I think in a debate he said they wanted to stretch his carcass, his hide, across some barn in Ohio for preaching what he preached. He said, I'm just showing you what the Bible says. So, Yeah, I'm nobody great, guys. I'm not trying to make myself look so fantastic. I'm just telling you, I had trouble reconciling these things. And I had to figure it out. So this is something that all of us needs to engage, all of us need to engage in. When we can't make things work, we got to go back and figure out, what am I having trouble getting right to make this work without violating or breaking the scripture? Luke's preaching on some pretty, well, we'll just say what he's been preaching in Romans 9. 95% to 98% of the religious community out there would say that what he is teaching about predestination and all that stuff is completely wrong. In Romans 9. But Luke's got to make this work with the whole of Scripture, doesn't he? See, so, and again, those of you that have been in the morning assembly know what I'm talking about. And it's not easy. Not easy. There's people that really struggle with what Luke's been saying. All right? Any comments or questions? Do you think you could prove this to somebody, what I just did? Just use this year as an example. Remember, I read that verse for you so that you would see it. Verse 15 and 16, Leviticus 23. You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath. And the only way this is going to work every year without fail is if he's talking about the regular Sabbath. From the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the way of offering, there shall be seven complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering. So this year, for example, Passover fell on Monday. Okay. Now, when would the first Sabbath be in this week? It would be 6 days down the road, right? And then you'd start counting. First Sabbath, second Sabbath, right? See how I had Jared do that? Okay. If you do, you know, seven Sabbaths from this, you'll get 50 days, but it's not going to be on the first day of the week. So now you got a problem with that. You guys follow? If you use this as the Sabbath, you might get 50 days, I should say. Brethren, you got to go home and just take a calendar out and just start messing with it. You'll see what I've been trying to communicate. But if you start your count with the day after the Sabbath in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the regular Sabbath, which is what I said in my notes, and start counting, it's always going to be 7 weeks is going to be that last Sabbath, the 49th day, and then the day after the 50th day to that day is going to be the day after the Sabbath every time. See? Whereas if you did it from the 15th, it's not always going to be, you know, correct. I know some of you are confused, and you can come and talk to me after class or call me or whatever. You just have to do the numbers. You have to pay attention to what it says. You have to run the numbers. And this is why I arrived where I arrived and why many of you, some of you are hearing it for the very first time because you're visiting today. But many of you, I want you to go back and try and work this out in your head. And if I'm wrong, I want you to come and tell me and show me where I'm wrong, okay? Hey, I could be wrong. I don't think so. Matter of fact, I'm certain I'm not. But I could be. Could be. But you show me how you make it all work with everything that they observed. Okay? So, in the year that Jesus died, the presentation of the first fruit, the day or the morrow after the Sabbath, in the year Jesus died, it would have been a Lord's Day. Up from the grave he arose, right? So, and it's called Lord's Day because it's the day he arose, correct? So. Anybody got a headache yet? Trying to think this through? Going, whoa. Hey, Brennan, I went back and forth on this 3-4 times trying to figure this out. Well, yeah, this is right. No, it's not right. Well, maybe it is. No, it's not. Being honest. So, in the year Jesus died, that's how it would have worked. If you do it, just like it says here, that it's going to be the day after the Sabbath. And it's interesting to me that the wording on the Sabbath is complete rest, Sabbath of complete rest there. And then on the Day of Atonement, it's going to be the same terminology, which we'll get to. Okay. And like in Day of Atonement, verse 32 of Leviticus 23, I just want to show you this. We've already covered the Day of Atonement. It is the Sabbath of complete rest to you. Notice that terminology is not in these holy convocations associated with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I believe for a reason. Okay, you got to notice this, brethren. Why does he do it here and didn't do it there? You got to ask yourself questions. Why? All right. And then on the 15th of the 7th month, the Feast of Booths, for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day is a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work of any kind. It says, on the 8th day you shall have a holy convocation, present an offering. These are the appointed times. Verse 37 is holy convocations. Back to verse 39, we're talking about 15th day in the 7th month. On exactly the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the crops of land, you celebrate the feast of the Lord for 7 days, with rest on the 1st day and rest on the 8th day. Now on the 1st day you should take for yourselves and give all the... Alright? I'm looking for the verse that I wanted to find, and I don't see it. Alright. So, verse 37 and 38, okay, of Leviticus 23. These are the appointed times of the Lord's, and we're going to go back over all this, guys. I'm just presenting some information. These are the appointed times of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, to present offerings by fire to Yahweh, burnt offerings and grain offerings, sacrifices and libations, each day's matter on its own day. Besides, now verse 38 says, besides the Sabbaths of the Lord. What's he talking about? Where's that terminology found in Leviticus 23? It's about the regular Sabbath day, brethren. Verse 3. For 6 days work may be done. On the 7th day there is a Sabbath of complete rest. Sabbath, Sabbath, Sabbathon. Okay. A holy convocation, you shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to who? To the Lord. Leviticus 23:38. Besides those of the Sabbath of the Lord. See the terminology? What's he talking about in verse 38? I just proved it for you. The regular Sabbath. The 7th day observance, right? Do you guys see that? Did I make anything up? Did I twist the scripture? Okay, just want you to see that. See how it's now it's designating this as separate? Besides the Sabbaths of the Lord, besides your gifts, and besides all your votive and free will offerings, which you give to Yahweh. That's why I'm convinced when it says Sabbath there, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it is talking about the Lord's Sabbath, not the holy convocation on the 1st day.
Just so people, when you're following through on this, so you don't get confused, too, in the New Testament, you aren't going to be able to distinguish between... I mean, other than John's hint that Sabbath was a high day, but you know, the rest of the Gospels, when it's saying Sabbath, they can call Sabbath any of these days. So unless you go back to the Old Testament and follow through what you just did, you'll never be able to arrive at the correct conclusion.
So I'm just showing you all the information that was in the chapter that caused me to look closer. Okay? And if you got questions, I welcome them. Not now. The class is officially over. Thanks for your attention.